Hey, Doc, how you doing? We're waiting for the other people before we get on the train. The train's not even here. The train is late.
We're standing on the platform.
Yeah.
Waiting for the train to come. FDR. Which stands for our 32nd president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as well as fuck. DeRich.
Oh, DeRich.
And I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, and this is Captain Max.
Okay.
And tonight, if you're listening to us live, it's the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Whoa, serious.
Okay.
Yes.
So, we're going to talk about a lot of hogwash tonight. We're going to wash the hogs and wash away all the dirt and all the crap that has been fed us.
Regarding 9/11.
Regarding
9/11. And offshoot war on terror scenarios.
War on terror, you know.
Craziness.
Let me give you a little
attacks.
Little factoid. The Nazis, when you killed one of their soldiers, they killed 10 of your people.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We killed hundreds of thousands.
Mm-hmm. For that 3,000.
Yes. A criminal act that should have been dealt with as a criminal act.
Yes. Like the other attack on the World Trade Centers.
That's correct. And all of this is the artist of this fuckfest is a guy by the name of Bush.
Who now wants to be an artist, like a painter artist.
He's a painter. Well, he painted a nice picture out there, killed a lot of people.
Painted with blood.
With blood in the desert, in the sand.
Ugh.
In the sand. Men.
And tears.
Men, women, and children. And our own.
And animals.
And animals.
And the whole environment. And also antiquities.
Antiquities.
Just so much.
And this is the partner to the Osama bin Laden family.
The Bush family.
Yeah, you understand that the Bush family were partners in the oil business with the bin Laden family.
Yes, of course. The Carlyle Group.
Yeah, the Carlyle Group.
Mm-hmm. They were all friends.
Yeah.
Almost family together.
A bunch of people stealing our oil.
This was a bit of a family dispute, maybe.
It could possibly be that. Because bin Laden is one of the sons who probably disagreed with his father and decided to become a radical.
Yes.
And that caused hundreds of thousands of people to die. And everybody says, oh, our brave this and our brave that and the brave. Fuck you. What do you mean the brave?
Well, there were some brave people. Yeah. I want to address the bravery of some people tonight.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But certainly these chicken hawk neocons were the opposite of brave. I mean brave people like the firefighters who died in the towers.
Those are the real good guys.
And who were tricked almost because the radios weren't working because America's mayor, Giuliani, spend the money to improve the radios, and they weren't working. So they didn't get the message that they should come out of the towers. So 343 firefighters died in those towers that didn't actually have to die. And I say their blood is on Rudy Giuliani's hands. But to me, they are certainly heroes. And so are all the people that died in the towers and the people that didn't die, that helped people to get out of those towers. It was a harrowing day for America. And as somebody quoted a kid saying that day, oh, well, now America knows what it's like to be bombed.
And I could not find that quote by bin Laden.
You know, I couldn't either.
Yeah.
It's almost like they've wiped it off the internet.
Yeah.
He predicted the sorrow and terror that we'd be living in 20 years later. Really.
Yeah.
And I think freedoms, he even used the term choking.
He called it a choke.
You will
live a choking life.
Something like that.
With no freedoms,
yes,
basically.
Which at the time kind of conjured up images of the Tibetan circle of life, where there are some people that are in a kind of purgatory, that are just perpetually hungry and thirsty and can't eat or drink, but they don't die, and they're choking. They're all choking people. But now we are choking on the corona apocalypse.
We're choking on that. We're choking. You know, sometimes we talk about China, and they go, oh, they have a camera on every corner. Oh, what kind of fascism and dictatorship? Hey, we got more cameras. We got them on every freaking front door.
And we got them right in our face, our own cameras. We're worried about them putting microchips inside our bodies or the vaccine or something. But really, it's just in our phone, guys. They're recording everything about us through our phone. Although probably the most private thing you can do on a smartphone is talk on it. Certainly writing on it is forever, but talking on it, maybe not. You know, I don't know if they're listening. But they are certainly recording you. So welcome to FDR and all aboard. Daru Garu says, Captain Max, doing good, sir. Electricity is on, so I'm good. I wonder if this person is in a flood zone or a fire zone.
Where are you?
Right. Night or day, 38, says, RIP, rest in peace to the victims of 9/11.
Yes.
And we say so too, and there are many victims. There are the almost 3,000 that died in the buildings and the planes, and there are also the victims of America's perma-wars that proceeded from 9/11 and certainly slaughtered so many countless innocent people, and I say countless because our authorities refused to count them.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't count them, and you know, let's not do this again. We have not won a war since the Second World War, which basically was won by us and the Russians, who lost 12 million soldiers on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And disseminated.
They lost a lot of people.
But also disseminated the Nazi army.
They did. Decimated.
Yeah. Decimated. What did I say?
You said disseminated, which is a good word for what America actually did. We disseminated the idea that we were the winners. And that's what gave us a lot of
clout, which we are losing. I think I made a mistake, though. I think we did win with the British the war in Grenada. The two soldiers in the army, they surrendered right away.
Right away.
As soon as they saw our ships coming and helicopters and troops, they said, okay, we surrender.
Right.
So nobody actually got killed too much.
And then there was the first Iraq war. That was sort of one, if you can call it a war. It was more of a turkey shoot because the Iraqis didn't fight back. They were basically running away as Americans were shooting them. That was a war, so to speak, waged by the very proper Bush pair, George Bush.
And based on total lies.
Oh, yeah. Based on total lies.
Total lies.
Which are actually explored in a book called Survival of the Friendliest, the authors of whom I interviewed on an interview of that name. And they talk about how this young girl, who was the daughter of a Kuwaiti dignitary, came onto the floor of Congress and gave everyone a lesson in the power of storytelling. Because she told a story about Iraqi soldiers throwing Kuwaiti babies out of the incubators onto the floor so they could take the incubators away. And it was very disturbing, disturbing enough that everyone wanted to go up against this evil dictator, Saddam Hussein, and even go into battle against him to drive him out of Kuwait, even though, of course, diplomatically, our Americans had given him permission to go in there, and even though Donald Rumsfeld himself had been the one to shake Saddam's hand and say, yes, we approve of all that you're doing. And he thought he had America behind him, but we decided to turn around pretty much based on this story, of course, based on all kinds of politics and the idea of America taking over the Middle East, this neocon kind of philosophy that has been the death of
us.
Called
neocons.
Neocons.
They are cons.
Yes. Paul Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, all of those guys. From, and I don't care that they are never Trumpers. I'm never them either. I'm never a lot of these assholes. But yeah, that story was very effective. The only problem, it was false. It was a lie. It was a fantasy. It wasn't true. They weren't doing
that. None of it. You got hoodwinked. It was all hogwash. They washed your brain with the same hogwash that they washed everybody's brain around the world.
Well, they didn't wash our brains.
Not my brain.
We were against that war. We were very much in the minority, you and I, Captain Max. And it was almost romantic for us. I know that sounds a little weird. But we're both such make love, not war kind of people. And we bonded in part over, well, our
making
horniness
love.
And making love. But also, we bonded over being against that war when so many of our friends and colleagues were for that war because they believed the Kuwaiti baby on the floor lie, which I wasn't sure about. I actually wasn't sure whether that was true because in those days, who knew? We didn't really have the internet.
And there was a really, you want to tell the turkey story?
Oh, that was much later.
That was later.
Yeah, so let's... No,
okay, no, I just asked you. Hey.
Let's talk about 9/11.
Okay.
We could talk about all the perma wars and so many things, but I think it is the anniversary, the 20th of 9/11, an attack on America's tallest buildings, our biggest phalluses. I call them Dick 1 and Dick 2. Filled with people, of course, and we mourn the people and many heroes. But Dick 1 and Dick 2 were symbols of America and finance and American power.
Power.
Military and financial. And these two symbols were struck down. There's arguments over what really happened, but I think there's no argument that planes hit these buildings and basically castrated them. And this is a terrible, not just loss of life, although of course the loss of life is tremendous, but it's a little more than a loss of life. It's a humiliation. And it's even a little more than the kind of humiliation that we've experienced leaving Afghanistan, because leaving Afghanistan is a humiliation. We're basically admitting we lost this effort. I guess it was a war, effort at invasion and occupation that we called a war, and we left. But, you know, that's very messy and horrible. But this was our two big dicks getting smashed, getting cut in their prime, in the middle of a beautiful day. And it was an act of terrorism, horror, like never seen before. like not seen since, that almost everyone knows about, I think. Maybe a few very rural people don't, in Africa or Australia or someplace, islands, places, Alaska, Antarctica.
Louisiana.
Maybe they don't know what 9/11 is, but almost everyone knows those numbers, those magical, satanic almost numbers. But still, it's shrouded in mystery. Many, many mysteries, almost like a myth or like a movie, and it certainly looked like a movie. It was kind of better than any movie, I think, I gotta say. And I don't like disaster movies, but this was pretty riveting. This was real. It was real. Now is a good time to remember that, because we don't know what's real anymore, do we? And though we still haven't solved many of the 9/11 mysteries, mainly because the rich want to cover up their own crimes, we do know that Chicken Hawk Bush and Dickhead Cheney and Rummy Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, the neocon, and the whole American military-industrial complex and its handmaidens in Congress, all of Congress, except the one brave, brave woman, Barbara Lee, a representative from Northern California, who said no to giving this crazy frat boy unlimited war powers or whatever it was they gave him. She said no, but she was the only one. They were all handmaidens to the military, because that's the only entity that really benefited from this craziness that erupted after 9/11. Oh, and the mainstream media, of course, benefited, exploiting 9/11 to turn America into a real sensation. All those images and then fears and terror, terror, terror. And so we would have an even bigger, more destructive military monster than we had before. And it was pretty bad before. But now we were going to just invade other nations like a rapist. And yes, one day we'll tell that turkey story again. Yeah. But I just want to say, in both cases, in Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya and other places, we invade like a fucking rapist that has bombs and missiles instead of the dick, because our dicks were castrated. And as Americans, we are all dick people. We're all men in America compared to the poor of the world. Yeah, like a rapist. Sorry for all you who say that's an inappropriate metaphor, but not sorry, because it's actually light, because a rapist doesn't necessarily kill their victim. But we did. We killed a lot of people.
Why did we kill
innocent people?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well,
we just did. We just sent a drone as a last kind of hit on Afghanistan. And Biden, who I still applaud for leaving.
Who had the guts to leave.
Had the guts to leave, and yay him. But he says, oh, we're hitting some terrorist, some ISIS guy. We hit one of our supporters, somebody who worked for an American company, and his family. That's who we hit. A family of nine. So.
I think many families. You know, I was born during the Second World War, and guess what? The Americans were trying to bomb me. They were trying to kill me. And my family.
Yes. Well, because the Americans are bombers, for the most part. Amosexual. It's a thing, and it's getting worse, I guess. Although, I have hope. I always have hope. Hope is a bit of a dirty word that they put out there, like the carrot, and then they give you the stick. So, but I love those carrots. Nature's Own dildos. Hey now.
It's I enjoy that. It's against the law in California to have sex with a vegetable.
I don't know about that. I think it's just against the law to show it in certain places. I have sex with vegetables. Come and get me.
Not real ones.
Oh, well, not people vegetables. No, I know it's not like go after people that are like comas.
A cucumber.
No, like a cucumber, a nice cucumber.
Nice cucumber.
Well, you see me sucking on a banana on this show before.
Yeah, banana's a little messy to use.
Yeah, I don't use it in the vaginal thing.
There's leaking and stuff like that is going
messy.
On. You know.
Too much sugar.
Too much
But a cucumber in a condom? Nice. Nature's Own dildos.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and you can't get pregnant. The only thing that could happen is that you have a cucumber starts growing.
Yes.
By the way, that's not real science.
No.
Please.
Don't. Like Joe Rogan says, right. Don't trust me to grow your hair. We say, don't believe our jokes. Although we do want people to believe our bonobo way.
We want them to feel good. We want them to feel something between their crotch. And more important, we want them to hear something in their head. Because right now, there's a big problem. Everybody is nuts. Beyond any nuttiness we've seen.
And 9/11 is, I wouldn't say the start of it, but certainly it punctuated the nuttiness of the era that America especially is going through since World War II, of just being this military monster. And this 9/11 event was in many ways blowback. You know that word, right?
Yeah,
I know it sounds a little like a blow job, which is nice.
Not. Yeah, okay.
And so it's sort of the opposite.
It's the blow in the back.
Instead of giving our big Dick 1 and Dick 2, the World Trade Centers, a nice blow job, they got blow back.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate for the people that were in there, and I mean that seriously. But blow back, of course, is the result of doing bad things. We'd done quite a few bad things since World War II in the world. And certainly, we've done bad things all along. But this was some blowback from the Middle Easterners. It was from the Saudis, really.
Ah, yes.
Here we are. The Saudi connection, which is really coming out more and more. Although it was out immediately. It's like, if this is a mystery, who done it? We knew who done it right away. We saw their passports right away. When people looked at newspapers, we didn't look at the internet. I remember looking at the news going, these guys are all from Saudi Arabia. Oh, and there's this one Egyptian guy.
The guy
in charge, he's Egyptian. Right. And look at all these other guys.
Were there any Hispanics or other?
No Hispanics, no Afghans.
No
Iraqis.
Wow, okay. There you have it.
I'm not sure who the other two or three were, but most of them, the great majority,
were from Saudi Arabia.
Were from Saudi Arabia. And Mohammed Atta, who was kind of the leader, although he wasn't the mastermind, but he was the leader of the suicide bombers, he was from Egypt. And of course, Osama.
The Reddit just. Took us off the air, the admin.
Okay.
But go ahead, we're at other places.
Okay.
You can't talk about 9/11 like with truth. You can't talk the truth about 9/11.
I haven't even gotten started.
You know, that's how far this horribleness of... of choking dissent, number one, and art and exploration and truth.
Truth.
Yeah.
That term truther is really messed up, almost like QAnon or maggot. So I don't like the way a lot of these wild and crazy right-wingers have kind of hijacked my words. Of course, it's not as bad as hijacking a plane, but please, I can't even use the word freedom anymore, and I certainly feel funny about using the word truth with any truth.
Can you believe it? I am just stunned.
You're stunned?
Yeah.
At what? Reddit?
Yeah.
It's that we've been censored.
Yeah, totally. Now, censored, you know, censored is one thing. We've been held back from telling our truth and what we saw and what many people saw and what many people know. But that's not the agenda.
Who?
The agenda is, wow, we did this and we did that and there were the brave people and there was this people and all. What the fuck are you talking about?
Was it when we started talking about Saudis that we got...
Probably, yeah.
...disconnected from Reddit?
Well, Saudis are our partners, if you guys don't know.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah, they moved to Beverly Hills, okay? They have mansions in Beverly Hills and they have nice cars. And then they race around with these cars all over Beverly Hills. Then they get a ticket and then there's a big fight and then they go home.
Yeah. Huh.
And I don't know how many people knew that the last plane out of this country, that flew out of this country.
You mean the first plane that was allowed out of the country,
right,
after 9/11.
Correct.
Was a plane for the
Carrying
Bin Laden
family. Yeah.
Yes. That was known at the time, and people questioned that, and they were kind of swatted away, like just you weren't a team player if you questioned that. But people did. It's not like we didn't know these things. We didn't have the power to do anything about it. The people in power did what they wanted. And General Wesley Clark, who I'm not a huge fan of because he's a fucking general, but he did point out that 9/11... whether you want to say it was an inside job, which I don't really say, but I do want to say that it was exploited by this neocon group. And we talk about coup, like the Trump coup, that kind of half-assedly attacked the Capitol.
Right.
On January 6th, which was terrible and everything, but wasn't 9/11, okay. And also, this 9/11 was exploited. If it wasn't allowed to happen, after all, Bush's brother was security for American Airlines and also...
Also the building, the towers.
The World Trade Centers. It kind of blows the mind to think they had anything to do with it, but... to think that they kind of let it happen, and that certainly to think that they exploited it, actually to know that they exploited it, because they wanted to go into...
Excuse me.
...other...
Just a little burp. Sorry.
I thought that was a bot after me. So, where was I?
Oh, by the way, you know...
I should finish that thought, but
oh, yeah,
I guess I won't. I can't, because I was burped on, so...
I love you.
I love you, too.
Okay. But then I want to tell you something after you finish with your thing, before
I
forget
what
I was going to say. Finish it. It's okay.
I can't. Oh, yeah. Wesley Clark said it was a soft coup. He said that they just took everyone's trauma... that everyone was suffering, even perhaps them. We were traumatized by this. Even if you were part of the plot, the sight of 9/11 was traumatizing, even if you celebrated it. It was frightening. It was a horror show in real life.
It was a theater piece.
And it was a theater piece. And they took advantage of it to launch a coup.
Right.
We don't know if Osama actually knew what was going to happen. He may have. He certainly seemed to have helped finance it. The guy who claims he knew what was going to happen is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I say is because the guy is still alive. Obama killed Osama, so we can't know what Osama might have to say.
Have to tell us.
Better or worse, and yeah. I would like to know, but yeah, I get it.
They killed him.
They killed him.
Unarmed, like an execution.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, old bang, man. Sounds like the LAPD.
Yeah, probably on dialysis. Obama assassinated Osama. And yet, this mastermind, he was the one that got the money from Osama, supposedly, so he says, a Pakistani named Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who they tortured a lot, and who confessed many times. But the problem is, his defense lawyers say those confessions are worthless.
Because he was tortured.
Exactly. Anyway, we have not been able to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, let alone sentence him to anything.
They don't
He's
want to try
hanging
him.
Out in Guantanamo right now with a bunch of other people that we haven't tried. But I suppose he's the most famous one.
Right. He's got a nice hairdo.
Yeah.
He looks like Boris Johnson with his hair.
It's kind of wild. I've seen all kinds of pictures of him with the big bushy beard and then hair all over his body. And I don't know.
Oh, so, yeah, right. Yeah. I saw that picture.
Yeah. That's, I think, when they first arrested him. He looks like he's asleep. Although it could be after they waterboarded him. He's only 5'4". A little guy.
Little guy. He's as tall as you, right? Something like that.
And they tortured him constantly because, you know, that's kind of the way of the Bush crime family, which includes Rumsfeld, who always knew in detail what kind of torture was going on. But Bush might have not known the details, although I consider all that POW porn that got made in Abu Ghraib to be a George W. Bush production, because he was the frat house president of his fraternity while he was at Yale before he became the American president. And in between, he was the governor of Texas, where he showed a lot of sadism in terms of how he'd make fun of people who he was executing.
Yeah. And it's not only Americans. It's power, power. You got to hang on to your power. And so to hang on to your power, you're not worried about somebody's weekly salary. You're worried about yours. And these people count their salaries in this way. $1.5 million every minute. Making money while you sleep.
Wow. And they made so much in the corona apocalypse.
In a minute.
And it's still going on.
Yeah.
And by the way, on Reddit, this guy named Necessary Teacher wrote, did you just say corona apocalypse? And then he writes, are you concerned with what you're recording now? And I don't know if that has something to do with them censoring us.
Yeah, and then he says, don't say anything important.
Is that what Necessary Teacher said?
Don't say anything important.
What?
Right?
Why are all these mainstream media people allowed to pontificate about 9/11, on and on and on?
They don't like the way we tell the story, that's all.
Well, the story is coming out.
Well, of course, but as much of it that can be suppressed in some way, it is.
Mm.
And you have it right here.
Well, I just hope that these families of the 9/11 victims, including many heroes. I hope that they get the information that they are looking for about the Saudi involvement. And they've just gotten a lot of corroboration of Saudi government officials finding homes for some of the hijackers, helping some of the other hijackers in other ways. And so there is Saudi involvement, and I hope that they get some money and that we get some answers. It's 20 years since this terrible, sensational occurrence, and it's been a strange 20 years in a way. I mean, in a way, it's been great. There's been lots of good times and great events and great heroes and good deeds and art and beauty and orgasms. And hey, I've had a fabulous 20 years, but it's also been, let's face it, 20 years of perma-war.
And for some people,
death.
It's been.
And loss.
And loss. And
destruction.
Destruction. And
And more and more for the rich.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing for the poor. And lies, and lies, and more lies.
Endless lies, endless, endless, from Santa Claus to you name it.
And we wonder why some people won't believe the government or science or any authority. And I'm talking about people I don't agree with now.
Yeah.
Or people I do.
That's because now they have the internet.
So much mistrust.
And now these people, me too, who might have lived in a small village, had no contact. Now we meet all the people we never wanted to meet. You know? It's our neighbors. And we find out that our neighbors, they're fucking nuts sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And they think that I'm crazy, right? Because I talk about things that I shouldn't be talking about, apparently, here in America.
Well, in a way, those planes didn't just shatter Dick 1 and Dick 2 and the Pentagon. Yes, our great center of war. They also shattered a certain sense of community here in America. There's a lot of things shattering this sense of a community. And it's so frustrating because at first it seemed to bring us together. There we all were with our little candles and we are one. And now we understand what it is like to be bombed. And maybe I wrote pieces that said maybe we will now be careful before we go off half-cocked.
Yeah.
And bomb our way through life. Maybe, what if we could make a change and not respond with war? But
correct,
of course,
right,
we did. We right. responded with war
yeah.
pretty
and
quickly.
I just want to make clear, we're not really, Reddit seems to be censoring us. Ah, okay, I just got a note from one of my producer that Reddit is indeed censoring us, and I don't think we said anything worse than fuck, right?
So, no.
No, right? We said anything...
We didn't say anything. We were barely talking about sex, except to compare the World Trade Center towers to penises.
Well, I didn't spend that time in prison for this to be allowed to happen, and you guys can censor me all you want. I'll make my own fucking magazines, my own radio, my own whatever.
Yeah, we'll see whether with the taped version they allow those. Yeah. We'll see.
It's the same thing that's happening here in our little hometown.
Mm-hmm.
It's about censorship.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, there was a lot of censorship then, and there's more and more. And, of course, one thing that I did right in my first piece after 9/11 was, please don't let the terrorists have their way. Don't let them take away our
freedoms,
our civil liberties.
And
by freedom, I do mean freedom to speak and to live our lives. Of course, I'm not talking about freedom to not wear a mask. And I guess you have your freedom not to wear a mask, but if you're coming onto my property, you should wear a mask. That's basically it.
And if you come into the community property where everybody meets, you should also wear a mask.
Right. Yeah. If you're in the community property, for sure. But people don't trust authority anymore. And very much it started to crumble. Well, when did it start to crumble?
You know,
gosh, there's been so much betrayal. I mean, you can look at Harry S. Truman saying we had to drop atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki when basically Japan was ready to surrender. They were surrendering. They just wanted to know that their emperor would be okay, and he was okay, and we were very willing to let our fellow fascist be okay.
Did they give him a pension or anything?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, followed the money.
You know what? I think one of the reasons that the army is so powerful within the structure of the government is because they don't want to give up their socialism and give it to us.
No.
They don't.
I understand that. I almost sympathize with these generals and soldiers and troops, although I'm going to fight them in the court of public opinion for those dollars, those tax dollars that are now going to the military-industrial complex, to weapons of war, and these are wars we don't even win. They're just wars to spend these weapons, and I use that word spend in the sexual sense, these penis substitutes. Because, yes, I am a sexologist, so of course I see that sex has something to do with this, and that there was a sexual revolution, liberation, release going on.
Wow.
In the 70s, well, 60s, 50s even, 60s, 70s, it just kept seeming like it was moving forward in the 90s. And then, of course, the crackdown on Clinton. And maybe I see it right now because I just watched this America's Crime Story impeachment first episode. So I see this attack on sex from the right wing. It really doesn't care about sex because they have all kinds of kinky sex, right wingers. I know that. We all know that. Right-wingers love kinky sex and cheating and, you know, all that stuff. But they also get very moralistic. And they're not afraid to get moralistic. They're shameless. They're hypocritical, much more so than Democrats, because Democrats then feel like, oh, if I'm going to say that this kind of sex is wrong, then I have to say it in my own party. Republicans don't feel that way. Their party can get away with anything. Exhibit A being Trump, who gets away with all kinds of wild sex and cheating and lying about it. And by the way, tonight, 9/11, where is Trump?
Where is Trump?
Tonight, it's 9/11.
Where
he's
he?
Supposed to be Make America Great, Mr. America. I want to be president again. This president's doing a terrible job. Where is Trump?
I haven't talked to him in a few months.
He's giving color commentary on a fight. It wasn't even much of a fight, by the way. Belfort, Holyfield. Holyfield being in his 50s.
Right.
So
right.
Belfort won in like 3 seconds. And Trump is there with his fans cheering. They love him because he's a wrestling president,
right.
Boxing.
Right, he's a he-man.
He wants to challenge Biden to a boxing match. That's his way of debating.
Wowee.
You know, 9/11 inspired sex doesn't all have to be bad, after all. This morning, Captain Max and I did our own private reenactment of 9/11, where I flew through the air and made his tower explode.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
How you doing there?
I'm doing good. Having
had your towers explode.
I'm doing good. I am just appalled at this Reddit thing. And, you know, you and I have lived through some of this. But now they're censoring words and ideas and thoughts. This is like the thought police. And I don't know who this room monitor is or what he does. Maybe he does DoorDash or something, you know, delivers stuff.
But ooh.
Who the hell are you, man? Why are you trying to take away my ability to speak on a public access network? What is this, a pin, apping, awesome? I almost had a flight on 9/11, but chose to travel a day early on 9/10.
Mm-hmm.
Was he going to be on the plane?
Yeah,
with
it sounds like he was almost going to be on the plane.
With the Arabs?
With the Arabs?
Yeah.
Why do you put it that way, Max?
No, it was the Arabs, right? They were Arab or?
I guess Saudi Arabians, yeah, Saudi a lot Arabia. Of them. Yeah, and, yeah. And of course, the Egyptian.
I mean, it wasn't Italians like me.
Well, if right. You want to put it that way.
No, we specialize in mafia stuff. And it's
well, speaking of which, I was looking into Rudy Giuliani tonight because I was seeing that he was pretty irresponsible, to say the least, in the lead up to 9/11, and of course very narcissistic during 9/11, and today claimed that Hillary Clinton wasn't there, although there are pictures of them together.
Sure.
Through the whole thing. Rudy Giuliani, of course, comes from mafia. And that's why he acts like mafia. Although, I guess he made a name for himself by prosecuting mafia. You can take the boy out of the mafia, but I don't think you can take the mafia out of the boy, at least not in this case. Props to Biden for leaving Afghanistan. It's messy, too messy. You're making a lot of mistakes, but you are a bit senile. We do understand that. Not that we're excusing it, but we want you to be supported in shutting down some of these outposts of the American perma-war. And we hope that you learn the lesson about blowback from 9/11. And the lesson about the grave of empires in Afghanistan. And the word is, you're not learning these lessons, Joe. And I hope you're listening. And you know that pivoting to China is disastrous. And of course, continuing to throw money at the military-industrial complex is disastrous. We're paying for it. But there's no money for infrastructure or rent or climate change. And as you know, Joe, the new enemy is climate change, and it's real. And the MIC is the worst offender. And if we lose the war on climate change, we can't just pack up our duffel bags and go home, because we are home. This is our home, and it's going up in smoke and flooding, and we're putting more and more and more and more money into the military. Damn. And more and more denigration of sexuality, eco-sexuality. We have a great throwback tonight, 9/11 anniversary Eve. Bonoboville, Bacchanal. And it was the night before the 15th anniversary of this most horrific and outrageous of terrorist attacks that shocked the world and triggered the Perma Wars, in which we are still enmeshed. I like to use the phrase Perma War better than Forever War, because everybody says Forever War. And Perma War reminds me of that horrible perm I had in my hair. That just drove me crazy when I tried to get it out. I couldn't wash my hair. I couldn't get it out. It was such a mess. It's a mess. But anyway, back to 9/11. This was an anniversary of that horrible day. Where were you on 9/11? I remember watching with my mouth open and my brain stretched to a point of disbelief as two big passenger planes flew headlong into the world's tallest buildings. Terrible atrocity. An attack on America's psyche. Dick 1 and Dick 2 going down. And it was all live on TV. I was watching it on TV on a Tuesday morning. And then it was replayed in slow motion from different angles, all totally surreal for all of us watching. These towering icons of American corporatocracy in truly a breathtakingly cruel but very low-tech conflagration of box cutters. Box cutters. And razor blades. And fire and fury. And then it turned into the Freedom-Trimming Patriot Act. And the gulags of Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and the Perma War that we now live and breathe and pay for every day. And we don't have money to pay for what we need. Because this is the monster that we've created. We're worried about AI. And of course, the military is way ahead of you all on AI. And you love it, don't you? Because Hollywood is also part of the military, and Hollywood helps to stimulate your fantasies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Create new realities.
Yes.
Because the old fucking ideal was not really an ideal.
What were you doing on 9/11? Because you weren't actually with me.
I'm so glad you asked.
Yes.
Okay, so I was a fugitive at the time.
Yes.
And I was in, not in Cannes, but I was in the other city just down the road. And I was in an art store. And I was there buying some art supplies.
What time of day was it? Middle
it
of the day?
Early day, morning, sort of more 11-ish, 10-ish, 11-ish.
Oh, yeah. It was like way early here.
Way early.
7 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
And and the woman, everybody in the store, because they had the TV on, was like, all of a sudden everybody was screaming.
Ooh.
And then I saw that. And I called you, actually.
Yes.
I sat down for coffee in this very nice French cafe. What happened? They put us back on now? Or?
But by that point,
really?
I had already seen it because John Clark, Lynn Redgrave's husband, he had called me when the first tower had been hit. And I ran into the television room. I didn't have a television. I went into somebody else's room, Kim. And they were watching it. Or did I tell them to turn it on? I think I told them to turn it on. And we turned it on. And we were also sleepy. And we did feel like we were dreaming as we watched it. So, I think now that we're talking about something everyone can relate to and isn't political, where were you on 9/11?
So
everyone can relate to that. It's right, very right. Non-threatening. So you were in an art store.
I was
sleeping, basically, but then I woke up and I watched
you.
It on television. And then after I watched it, I talked to you, actually, because you had already seen it too. But I watched it, or maybe it called me while I was watching it.
I don't
That's
know.
That's possible.
I know I was sitting at a cafe.
Yeah.
I was having a cappuccino.
Yeah.
It was early day, early morning,
yeah.
Early afternoon. You know, not quite afternoon. And there was another couple next to me in the next table. And I said something, and they basically said, "Finally, you guys deserve it."
Wow.
Yeah.
You heard that.
Yeah, in English. They were French.
But they wanted you to hear.
Yeah, yeah. No, they turned around to me and they wanted me to hear.
Finally, you guys deserve it.
Yeah.
That's mean.
Well, that's mean,
but
they,
you know, they got a point. But hey, it's still mean, okay?
But also I want to say there's a lot of really nice people in this country, mainly foreigners.
Uh-huh.
Because we're almost all foreigners except for the people that were here before we were here.
Well, they're the nicest.
Right, and they're the nicest.
They're the ones that would not have supported any of these wars, I would think.
But
we didn't either, and so our conscience is pretty clean.
Clean.
In a way, although you have to always feel guilty from using
something.
The fruits of American hegemony over the world. It's disturbing, but we do it. We try not to make too big a carbon footprint in our life.
In Europe, a lot of people are not jealous, but they're kind of like, who the fuck do these people think they are?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't blame them. And you know,
So it's not a hate.
Felt a welcome from them because I made my politics clear. We did a show called Art Bombs.
Oh, right.
Right before the dropping of the bombs on Iraq.
Right.
And we communicated in other ways with people. We had the Khan blah blah.
We
let everyone know that we were not in favor of these wars.
And we are the Khan Press Club.
Yes, and I was flying quite a bit.
Yeah.
I was. And so I had to deal with a lot of anxiety.
We brought a lot of erotic art to Khan, right?
Yes.
And we hung it up in this little restaurant. It was a really wonderful little place. And they had that dancer.
Yes, a trans woman.
A trans woman.
It was fabulous.
Who came in to dance while we were eating.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we really found a lot of love and welcome in France because, I guess, of our politics. And after all, most Americans were eating freedom fries at that time. So the French could appreciate our je ne sais quoi.
We just got censored again.
Again?
Yes, for something.
What? I don't know.
Well, I tell you what it's for talking.
Talking.
Yeah, for talking.
Okay.
You can't talk. This is a whole new... These people are worried about chips going into... They don't need no fucking chips. You're all following them like sheep. No problem. They're not putting that... They already have it in your head. That you have to shoot people. That you have to do this. You have to do this for Jesus. You have to... That's all there already. What kind of chip are they going to put in there? What are they going to tell you? Anyway, amazing.
Hogwash. So we did this great show, and we're going to be playing it after this live podcast, and we feature some very exciting people, such as Shannon Coronado, and our pick for president, who is Dominatrix Tara Indiana,
right,
who was a U.S. presidential candidate at that time.
So were you at one point?
I was at one point.
Yeah.
But when push came to shove, I ended up voting for Hillary. Because
yes.
I was nervous about Donald.
Oh, yeah.
So I voted for Hillary.
The lesser of two evils.
Yes, absolutely.
Always.
But at the time, we weren't that worried. So I supported a dominatrix, figuring she knew how to handle terrorizing men with huge penis size anxieties. So Tara Indiana is on, and a bunch of other people, Jay Tirico, and Jackie Blue, the late, great Jackie Blue, and Nori is on, and Igor the Wolf. Anyway, we also went to the Emmys that year, as we do every year. Except this year, we didn't go.
We didn't go this year.
We didn't go to the Emmys. We're sad. I'm sad. Max is often bored at the Emmys, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a little
tutu. I have a tutu side. And yet, I agreed that going seemed to be kind of pushing the edges of the corona apocalypse, because it is pretty dangerous out there, I think. I don't know. I can't tell what the truth is. But I figure better safe than sorry for at least a little while. And so I believe in getting vaccinated, in wearing masks, and staying home.
Right.
In Bonoboville. And having lots of sex.
That's always good.
Yes, I'm fortunate to have a partner, but if I didn't, I would still be having lots of sex, because it's Self-Love September. Hey, hey, celebrate. The people that created it, I think they're thinking of, like, going to the spa or taking a nice walk among the flowers or doing mantras where you're telling yourself you're really a great person. But really, I interpret Self-Love September as opening yourself to all these things, as well as self-love, which is self-pleasure, which is touching yourself. Because Lord and Lady knows we can't do a lot of touching of people these days. And I think a lot of that is due to the corona apocalypse, to real germs, to Mother Nature fighting us. But some of that is also due to the psychological effects of 9/11, of the impeachment, of airing Bill Clinton's dirty laundry, of boosting George W.'s faith-based idiocy, and of just honoring this way of being. And I feel that a sex negativity and a violent ethos that turns itself basically into what we call amosexuality, sometimes incel, sometimes they have 15 children. But it's amosexuality. It's putting your energy into weapons. And by energy, I do mean money. So a lot of us are doing this, even if we don't believe in it. Our taxes are going to these weapons.
And they're on food stamps.
The people who are
buying these guns.
Buying guns, yeah. Yes.
And probably buying them with tax dollar.
It's a terrible thing, and it's a sex negative thing. It's an amosexual thing where your satisfaction is in sending a drone that explodes in somebody's car. It's a terrible form of sexuality. And after the terror attacks, Anne Coulter, who I gave props to for saying to Biden, good on you for leaving Afghanistan, pulling out. Yeah. She said Trump didn't have the balls to do it. Anne always talks sexy, but she's a bitch. And right after 9/11, she said that the U.S. had to invade Muslim countries, kill their leaders, and convert them to Christianity. Quote.
La, la, la. 9/11, it's like a total intelligence operation. And everybody's implanted.
Everyone's traumatized.
Traumatized. And, you know, and they're not traumatized if we drop bombs and kill a bunch of people over there. What the fuck is that?
That's called selfish narcissism.
I don't know what it's called, but fuck, man.
So basically, since 9/11, sex has taken a beating. And beating has become sexy. The Taliban beating, the American beating,
okay, it isn't,
the amosexuality, the weaponry, the bombing.
But even if you believe in all that stuff and are burdened with all that stuff, you can change that. You can change that.
Who can change that?
Yourself. You can change yourself.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, if I start complaining about my fucking life, you know.
Well, I like to complain myself.
Well, you like to complain.
I do, and I'm complaining about the response to 9/11. I feel unheard, and I feel unheard right now. And well, yeah. I would like to complain about it because sure. I'm being censored right now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know, you can say, make the best of life.
No, 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 censorship is not a big deal anymore. Everybody gets censored on a massive basis in Facebook and all these corporate jailhouses of evil, real evil.
Maybe it's because I'm not on camera. I can't seduce them
your voice is nice.
Beauty. I do have a nice voice, but maybe they think of me as Tokyo Rose.
We may be back next week. Who knows?
We may not.
And we may not.
You know, we're just saying things that a lot of people
don't want to say.
Feel
and see, but you can't say it because they've impregnated everybody else, and everybody goes, oh, you terrible. Wait a minute.
And they put Julian Assange in prison.
Right, in prison.
In a dungeon, Belmarsh Prison.
Yeah. So the right
for
wing.
For speaking the truth.
Yes.
For basically just releasing
documents. You can tell all
documents.
The lies you want. You can tell all the lies you want. All the lies you want to tell. You cannot tell anything that comes near to the truth.
Well, you can.
Well, you
just have to.
Who are you going to tell it to?
Deal with
the censorship.
The censorship. Well, we're telling it right now. I do complain, though, because there is a lot of censorship. There's a loss of civil liberties, and I'm not talking about the liberty to show your ugly face in a pandemic. I'm talking about being able to say things, being able to say you want to show your ugly face in a pandemic. I don't think you should be censored either from speaking your mind. And really, I felt the 90s, it was a time of openness and exploration. Dr. Ruth, Real Sex, Radio Sex TV. It was a great decade for us. We fell in love. We got married. We discovered bonobos. We protested the first Gulf War. We kind of lost our effort to make peace, but we sent out Desert Susan. And we felt like, well, during the Clinton years, there was a bit of bombing. There was that awful Bosnian thing, but that hadn't happened yet. That was a wag the dog thing. But first, he was impeached.
Right, right.
He was impeached, and they're showing this impeachment film now. And this impeachment film is a little bit tabloidy. I mean, it's well done, it's well acted, but it's a little bit like Real Housewives of Washington.
Oh, God. With the nice bright light and the pinball cameras running and...
Well, I understand that,
because
they're in the Pentagon. Not exactly nice lighting in the Pentagon. That's understandable. But the politics is tabloidy, too. And anyway, I'll keep watching it, because it's interesting and nostalgic. But...
Well, you know, it's about...
The point is
cigar
that...
Cigar dips and...
It was just lies about sex. It was a lie. He said, I never had sex with that woman. That wasn't on oath, but it was a lie. And he did have sex, although he didn't have intercourse. And believe me, there are a lot of people that define sex as intercourse.
Correct, right. Right.
And I won one of the America's Greatest Thinker Awards.
Yes, yes.
Saying that there are times when lying might be appropriate.
Might be good.
Such as when the Nazis come to the door and you've got a Jew under the bed. Or such as perhaps when you're hiding an affair. Sometimes you lie about it.
Or you go to grandma's house and there's this... All this horrible food.
Exactly.
You say, enough to kill you.
It's delicious, Grandma.
Oh, this is great, Grandma, great. Because you don't want to, you know, fuck with the old lady, you know.
No.
It's not nice. Why tell her it's bad food?
You know? So that's what Clinton was lying about. I mean, was Clinton lying about government? Probably. All the presidents do. But the crime, so to speak, was for lying about sex. And that was what he was impeached for. He wasn't fired. He wasn't convicted. But he was impeached and punished. Punished and continually excoriated. And our next president, who partly became president because of this impeachment, and that's why they didn't let Gore have it, because the economy was booming at that time. They would have let Gore have it, but Gore was freaked out to let Clinton go on his campaign, and so Bush didn't even really win, but they gave it to him, the Supreme Court.
Yeah, twice now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twice now.
And so Bush, who wasn't even properly elected, he became known rather quickly for lying about war, like right after 9/11. The Taliban said, okay, we surrender. We'll give you Osama. We don't want to keep him here. We're not trying to have a war with you guys.
Wasn't he the guy that danced at the ball game?
Bush. W?
Yeah.
He was a cheerleader.
The cheerleader, right. He was a...
Yes.
This guy was
that
a...
That was his
we got a
job.
Fucking cheerleader running the country.
And that's why he was so
rah, rah, rah.
Good on a bullhorn, baby.
Yeah.
Wow. He knew how to cheerlead. Unfortunately, he also knew how to dodge that shoe.
Yeah.
I really was hoping that guy who threw a shoe at him would get
miss.
It. He missed. But anyway, I wanted to throw a shoe at him today when he's talking about how the sacrifice was so wonderful and maybe, well, it wasn't as grand as... It could have been, but it was great, and I'm here, and I'm not Trump, so hey, love me, please, because Michelle Obama gave me a cough drop, and I gave it back, and so now I paint pictures of dictators, and here I am, just asking to be a member of the human community and not in
even
prison.
Though I've killed all these people.
Even though I've killed all these people.
People.
And lied about it. Not lied about sex. Because W doesn't have sex to lie about. Unless you count the POW porn he made at Abu Ghraib.
Oh,
and
that,
at Guantanamo.
Yeah. He might be looking at that every night.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. Maybe you should paint a picture of it. Bushy boy.
He was known for lying about war, as was Cheney, as was Rumsfeld, as were all of them. But as Wesley Clark said, it was a soft coup. Those guys just took control, and we gave the biggest peace demonstration of all time right before the rape of Iraq. And I'm not going to tell the whole story, but some people misunderstood me calling it the rape of Iraq. I was talking about invasion, and some people in Turkey thought I was talking about American soldiers actually raping Iraqi women. I was not, though they were. But anyway, a horrible, horrible terrorist act was committed at a bank in Istanbul over that misunderstanding. And I still feel very terrible about that, although it was a total misunderstanding. But we all have personal connections with this terrible, terrible war on terror. And we should be able to talk about them. We should be able to share our experiences. We should be fearless, and we shouldn't be censored, but we will be. So anyway, we have to try our best
to help each other. We do our best
to handle this, because you know what? We are all traumatized by 9/11, and most of the time we don't talk about it. We just move along, whether we're troops, or we're artists, or we're politicians. Whatever we are, we just move along after that happened. And by that, I mean the spectacle, the blowback of our biggest phallic buildings cut down by our allies, Saudi Arabians. We're finding out more about that. I still have hope, I still do, that we will find out more, and that I will be able to go to next year's Emmy event, as well as next year's DomCon, and that we will come out of the coronapocalypse. And I even have hope that there will be more openness again. Hope. So delusionary. But it's not exactly a lie. We're commemorating 9/11 tonight here on the FDR, Fuck to Rich. My brother was very offended at the word fuck in our title.
I heard.
You know, I just feel like the censorship is coming down on me personally.
Sure.
From big platforms I can't even as well as friends and family.
Yeah, and he also doesn't know what he doesn't want to reveal us as the in-laws.
Well, that's been the case for his whole life.
Really?
Yeah.
He hasn't liked me his whole life?
Well, you've only come along. You're a Johnny-come-lately to his life.
Right.
He didn't want me to be revealed to his friends either.
You're right.
Yeah, that's part of my trauma. But anyway, yeah. I love my brother very, very much. I do. And you know, I love America very, very much, and I mourn the victims of 9/11, because even though it was such a spectacle, and the aftermath, which we are still experiencing, is so infuriating, still real people died on that day, and my heart goes out to them. It doesn't mean y'all have to be sad. You can fly through the air like an airplane and make your honey's tower explode like I did with Max this morning. So, I hope that we learn the lesson of love from 9/11. I hope I learned that, you know, because, yeah, as you often say, Captain Max, the revolution begins with you and me. And even though I complain about our leaders, and I don't want the Bush crime family to get a pass just because Trump is such a creep commentating at a wrestling match on 9/11 evening. But you know what doesn't commit climate catastrophe? Your basic sex, especially if you're not procreating. Of course, if you're Texas, I don't know, you better wear a condom, but that is already what, using plastic, latex, what have you. But basic organic sex, there is no plastic even involved, and certainly in masturbation, nothing. And it is self-love September, which has a very organic feel to it on the internet, I've noticed. And I just want to say that self-love, self-pleasure, sexual solitaire has a very organic feel to it. I mean, you can use toys. You can also use nature's own dildos. And you use yourself. You love yourself. And if you use yourself, if you exploit yourself, well, I say, that's okay. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Make like bonobos.
And come visit us. Not here, on the internet.
Okay. Should they do that?
Just go to Google and put in Dr. Susie Block.
Well, probably Dr. Susan Block, because most people spell Susie wrong, okay? So I'll just say that. I'll tell you how to spell Susie. It's S-U-Z-Y. But all these people that tell me they love me and then spell it S-U-S-I-E, let me just say you get my boot, and I hope you like to suck stilettos. But at least I'm not throwing it at you like I'd like to do to W. Anyway. So, make like bonobos, not baboons. By baboons, I mean neocons, because neocons give baboons a bad name. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love. Tonight. Celebrate self-love September, even if that someone is you. I love you. Mwah.
Kiss. Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497. Anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web.